The views and opinions that are expressed on the Dope Sessions podcast are that of the hosts and do not reflect any views of any other attached entities. Now that we got that out of the way, let's go.
Yo, what's going on, everybody, man? Thank y'all again for tuning in to another episode of the Late Sessions, man. I'm joined by DJ, the microphone mixer, and Harley Hustle, my two guys. What's going on, y'all?
Bless, man.
Hey, everybody. Hope everybody having a good evening.
Yeah, man. First of all, man, this conversation that we're about to have, it kind of really started off with me and Dean talking about, I don't know if we were talking about hip-hop movies as a whole, but I think my question to Dean was, I said, man, is there a hip-hop movie that's better than Power Park? And I think that's where the conversation began, and then we just started talking about other films in the realm. And then when I told you about the conversation, Harley, you had something, you laid out in this text, and I wanted you to kind of just, if you want to just share, you don't have to say word for word, just share what text in your text. And because I really want the people to know, you know, what you said, and on top of that, I wanted us to kind of conversate on that. Yeah.
Okay. I would say, basically, I was getting into the fact that I think to me, and it's kind of me being sacrificial with this movie, as I was talking to D. Nick about, with House Party. It's kind of sacrificing House Party for a bigger point. The House Party isn't exactly a hip-hop movie, fully. And that has more to do with the fact that, based on what most hip-hop movies really is, to me, it comes across more as an African-American urban comedy coming-of-age movie with an East Coast hip-hop soundtrack.
Right.
And the only thing that was hip-hop in the movie is really the dance battle, but is that really hip-hop because it wasn't breakdancing?
Okay.
So, you know, considering what most people consider hip-hop dancing, like we got with the Black community, with the African-American community considers hip-hop dancing, which is a lot more than breakdancing and popping and uprocking. But most of the elements people don't really consider all of the other styles of hip-hop dancing that the African-American community has come up with as being truly hip-hop.
Okay.
So it was kind of more about me saying that hip-hop, that House Party is more of an African-American cultural movie touchstone than it is a hip-hop movie. And we make it more of a hip-hop movie, and that kind of takes away from it a little bit.
Okay.
That was kind of like, you know, the long and the short of it.
Right.
And the 90s era hip-hop was, 90s era movies, African-American movies were largely labeled hip-hop. Even the ones that weren't.
Right. Yeah.
Or because they were marketed to a hip hop audience, per se.
Right. Yeah, definitely. If you can, what do you think about, you know, what Harley said, and, you know, with because I agree with Harley, with, like, you, when you sent me that text, you know, you told me to check out this list that were like the Revolt made about the 19 best like hip hop movies or something like that, from the 90s and stuff. And there was some stuff on there I was like, and I kept thinking about your text, and I was like, you know, no, you're right. And for some reason it's like I don't. Like, the only thing I was like, I may disagree with is House Party, But like the other ones, I was like, I totally get where you're coming from.
With the synopsis and about how, and I don't want to bury one of Harley's points, you know what I'm saying? Because he hasn't fully revealed it and fleshed it out yet. But what we had talked about earlier, he had pointed out was, and he alluded to it in his assessment that House Party gotta be sacrificed for Black coming of age, urban coming of age movies, and where, given that metric and all of that type of stuff, because I in totality, I'm on the side of House Party is a hip hop movie. Now, with it being sacrificed to prove a bigger point and a stronger point, which is clearly, first of all, I 110% agree with that point. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
A lot of stuff that is, like, especially when you sent me that list, Kelvin, I'm like, half of this shit on that, was it Vibe? On the Vibe hip hop?
Man, no, man. Revolt.
Revolt, okay, yeah, Revolt. That shit was not hip hop movies. Like, right. Half of them. And I'm like, okay. And, you know, and to understand, like, Harley's point, like, I mean, I agree with that point. There's no disagreements with me on that point. I just disagree, like, that House Party is a hip-hop movie. But I totally respect the whole idea of, like, this got to be sacrificed for the greater good of the point. So I'm like, man, I respect that. Like, so
right.
I don't know if that puts me two in the middle or what, but that's how I feel about that.
Right. Now,
and I'm not even saying, and I think to further make it even more complicated, is that I'm not even fully saying that it's not a hip hop movie. It's right. More of me sacrificing it as a hip hop movie because we need to make the African American through line so okay. That people understand that there are African American coming of age movies of multiple types that go back to Cooley High.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And one of the other conversations I know me and Deenick had, because I told him about the list and stuff like that, and I was just like, you know, when it comes to film,
what's up, Tree?
What up, Tree?
Yo, what's going on, Tree? Fellas? How y'all feel?
Good. Man, it's feeling good. Welcome to the convo, bro.
Thank you.
Yeah, Tree, we talking about the hip-hop movies, the true essence of hip-hop movie. What exactly is a hip-hop movie and what movies aren't quote-unquote hip-hop movies. And I was just going to say, like, one of the things that me and Dina talked about in our conversation that we had the other day was basically about how, because in film, you can cross-pollinate different genres to a film. So like I agree with you, like House Party is a coming of age teen drama.
Comedy. But also I would say comedy.
Comedy.
Comedy. But also I believe it's also a hip hop movie too.
Now the reason
or something like Who's the Man?
Like the reason why I was throwing Who's the Man of, say House Party as far as hip hop movies, and see, people don't talk about the beginning hip hop movie. See, Crush Groove, Beat Street, and Breaking set the mold.
Yeah.
For what a hip hop movie is. And all of those hip hop movies had a hip hop goal.
Mm-hmm.
House Party had a normal I'm growing up in the hood gold, throwing a party at the crib when the parents ain't there.
Right.
Sneaking off to a party and all of that stuff.
Right.
That's interesting because, you know, go back to metrics. Go back to metrics.
Right.
I'm sorry, continue.
Because in the metric, that would make it the coming of age movie that could be done in any genre.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You get what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't make it hip hop per se because it still makes it like any genre because it could have been, they didn't have to be playing hip hop music to be doing what they did.
Well, I wanna speak to that on the and you having that metric, you know, I don't have that metric for hip hop movies. For me, it's more of the intent and the spiritual principle of the movie, like what of the purpose of the intention, spiritual intention of the movie. So like, for people that don't know, House Party originally is a groovy, chill like story about how they came, how did they get into hip hop?
But like, they didn't. But they
wait, hold on.
I want to ask a question. And what in that does his story end with them becoming something in the hip hop industry?
Well, that's your metric. That's what I'm
saying.
No,
that's the
I'm
proper talking, metric.
No, but I'm saying, well, I don't know. I don't really necessarily subscribe to that. I'm talking about how I let me finish conveying the metric though with that of my intention. You know, it's like, okay, is the spiritual intent of it hip hop? When you talk about Reginald Hudlin and he's writing this movie about groovy chill and how they got into hip hop, and then their record's not hot. So they get sidelined, and then it's for Jazzy Jeff and Fresh Prince. They turn it down, and then it goes to Kid and Play. There's a few rewrites, but there's still a lot of the essence of how Groove Be Chill like got into hip hop, which is totally different from how Kid and Play got into hip hop. But it's still Groove Be Chill, essential story. And you know, so like I'm like this when I say the spiritual intent. This is Reginald Hudlin and his brother crafting a movie about hip hop for them. And like, this is how they got in. And we're telling the lens of their hip hop story conflated with, you know, Kid and Play. Now, like, I hear you on like those other movies that didn't do that well.
No,
you
know but see, no,
but,
you're
like,
no,
but it's,
you
it's
say
the
they
thing.
Do well. These movies did well. What are you talking about? As far as in the African American community they were aimed at, these movies are like
they didn't cross over. When I said I'm talking about crossover. So yeah, like for us
House Party didn't cross over either.
With three sequels?
House Party didn't cross over.
It made his money back. And
yeah,
you know,
but that's what it was supposed to do. Almost all African American movies to come out make their money back. You hardly ever have an African American movie that doesn't make its money back.
So let me ask this: like, I agree with you that a lot of the African American movies did make their money back. I want to know what made House Party not cross over when House Party, like. You have three House Party movies with Kid and Play. Then you have another House Party movie with Immature, who was in the third House Party. And then you have a remake of sorts of House Party. So at my thinking, and I could be wrong on that, is that movie probably crossed over.
Madea crossover?
I would say so, yeah.
No. Madea ain't never did no real, like, what we talked about this. The highest grossing Madea movie has been like $100 million.
Yeah. Right.
So we know no house party movie has made over $100 million. We know House Party ain't made Bad Boy money. Because we've talked about the movies that made a lot of money also. And House Party right. wasn't one of them. And metrics, I agree with you, D-Nick. That's why I'm saying the metrics that we're talking about, we can't set the metrics up based on House Party. House Party was superseded by other classic movies that get to set the metrics. Movies like Crush Groove set the metrics. Movies like Beat Street set the metrics. Because these movies came out like almost 10 years in advance.
Yeah. I guess it's a but. When I go back to the metric, I'm going from the creators like Reginald Hudlin.
Yeah, but when you got
all it, Reginald Hudlin has stated that there's never been. This is Reginald Hudlin. This ain't D-Nick. Reginald Hudlin was like, yo, there's never been a great hip-hop movie, so we need to create one for the genre. So I'm going off for the intention.
So he said it's never been a great hip-hop movie, which when we know when people say shit, that's to sell shit. So I don't give a fuck about what he got to say. Like, because we know that it's been great hip-hop movies, because what the fuck? Crush Groove wasn't a great movie? Get the fuck out of here.
I mean, I liked it, but I don't.
Man, everybody singing All You Can Eat. That's why the Fat Boys got up. That's why Cool J got up. We all walked away singing songs from that movie.
Right.
So, House Party on a 75,000 dollar budget made $45,000, back. Okay.
That wasn't even nothing even back then.
But that's, what is that? Like tripling the money?
Yeah.
Okay, so.
But it was a hood classic. And it's labeled hip hop. Because this is what I'm saying, like a lot of the stuff that we got muddled between hood classics and hip hop movies during the 90s, because the East Coast had that market sold up. So I'm not saying it, if we're gonna base it on the East Coast metric, yeah, it's a hip hop movie. But if we're gonna base it on the whole United States metric, nah. So it's a yes and a no.
Which I'm glad you said that, because I do have a question to ask. Because I've looked at the information that Kale sent earlier, and I'm looking at a separate list now, and I'm wondering, do movies like Do the Right Thing, are they hip-hop movies, or what are we doing here?
No.
Here's what's the crazy thing. Man, I'm glad you asked that question. Because they aren't hip-hop movies, but they have a hip-hop sensibility. They were marketed to a hip-hop crowd. So the average person would think they were a hip-hop movie, and sometimes they will pop up on lists as hip-hop movies.
Right, because I'm looking at, Complex? And Complex, yeah. Mark, mm-hmm. Do the Right Thing is number 5 on their list. I mean, 35 on their list of a hip-hop movie.
Do you consider it a hip hop movie, Tree?
See, and that's where I had to go actually define what a hip hop movie was. And from what I've read, a hip hop movie has to have in its essence of its own storytelling hip hop elements, and not just have a hip hop soundtrack. So
right.
If you're going to do it like that, then some of these, you know, gangster movies, they got to go.
Right. Yeah. They're not hip-hop.
Yeah, like, yeah. And even the list that you gave, Harley, that's the list that I gave to Tree, too, from Revolt. Yeah, like looking at that list, I was like, okay, yeah, New Jack City, hip-hop sensibilities, but not a hip-hop movie.
Right.
But those are films where I didn't necessarily, like me personally, I don't think I necessarily was just like, oh, Boys in the Hood, that's a hip-hop movie. Like,
God, no.
You know what I'm saying? But stuff like House Party, I was like, yeah, hip-hop movie. Who's the Man? Hip-hop movie. Maybe to a certain extent, I think I did for Do the Right Thing.
But see, that's the whole... They start slapping the label hip-hop on everything that was black or African-American to kind of get it to float the line.
Right, especially in the 90s.
Right, because once they took that hip-hop label off and started saying urban, stuff started flopping.
Right.
Because I'm going to keep it real. On Complex's list, Dope is number 30. I really struggle to find that to be a hip-hop movie. It's a good movie. I love it, but I don't know.
It's hip-hop sensibility, but it's like...
But see, that would be a hood coming to age story.
Yeah.
Because Dope is kind of like Menace to Society, kind of like Boys in the Hood, kind of like Sunset Beach.
Tricky, well, yeah, wow. Yeah, is Sunset Beach, is that a hip-hop movie?
Man, see, that's enough. Like, is it a basketball movie? What is it?
Right.
are you talking about Sunset Beach or Sunset Park?
Sunset Park. Yeah.
Sunset Park, okay. Fat Beach, I'm thinking.
That's another that I want to bring it back to like what I was saying before. Because you can play with genres. So like if I did something like 8 Mile meets fucking Blade Runner or something like that.
But see,
would that not be considered a hip hop movie if I'm just crossing genres? You know what I'm saying?
Here's the crazy thing. That would definitely be a hip hop movie because 8 Mile is a hip hop movie. So to cross it with Blade Runner would give it all of the hip hop elements it needed just by taking them out of 8 Mile.
So it's safe to say that Straight Outta Compton is and Juice are hip hop movies.
Juice? No. Straight Outta Compton?
No.
Yeah.
I mean, but why not Juice? I mean, because Q is basically a DJ and he's a whole hip hop in itself.
But you don't see them stealing records. You don't see them doing.
Well, they stole records.
I'm talking about like continually. You only see one competition.
No, I'm talking about when they actually went to the record stop and started stealing. Yeah, that's what they did.
You only see in the whole joint.
Right.
You only see one competition.
I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying.
I mean, but do you really need to see that scene in like every 20 minutes or so?
No, but you see the gunplay.
Yeah, because we love to see black people killing black people.
Right.
Right.
You really need to see that make it a gangster movie that had a DJ scene in it.
Right. No, I get what you're saying about that.
I definitely want to say multiple DJ scenes in it because he was in his crib. That's what I'm saying. It's like that's gotta be a hip hop movie.
Right, that's the competition in the house.
But he wasn't with no other DJs. He wasn't like, bro. DJ stuff has a culture. I DJ.
Well, see.
But he did practice. He was showing. They did show him practice.
Right. You got straight shooters in like Jam Master Jay.
But hold on, see, because that's just like saying, you know how since we was brought up in the church, that's just like saying. You can't have church in your house. You have to go to church to be with other people. That's what you just said.
No, you can have church in your house by yourself. But the thing is, in having church in your house by yourself, you understand the rules are different. than having church with somebody else.
Yeah, no, because.
But I'm saying comparing it to, you know,
no,
what we were just talking about. So it's like.
I think you're making a good point, but I think with, because it's like this, like go back to what you said about the church. Yes, you can have, you can have church at your house, but in order to understand the word and to be able to fellowship with others who, that's why you need the church. And if you don't have, like with Duke, you don't have multiple competitions. It's just like, okay, so this dude has only been in one competition. Like, okay,
another
competition coming
but
up.
I look at Juice as, like, that's one where I'm like, that's definitely both.
It could be on the fence, but he wasn't. But as a DJ, man, just like MCs, just like dancers, we usually rock with other people that do that. And none of them rapped or anything. Like, for him to be around three dudes that don't do nothing to do with hip-hop?
I mean, that's his thing.
Man, even though it's his thing, that's usually not how hip hop people move up. They usually
but it's all, you're also talking about like at a time when, you know, it's like
back
okay.
then, definitely we didn't move like that.
I get like we didn't move back then, but that's also a time when you could have a crew with one MC, one DJ.
Yeah, but then what? But then none of them were any of that. That's what I'm saying.
I know, because Q was the only one.
Right.
Right.
So normally, that's what I'm saying. Back then, it was everybody had a position, even if they were security. It wasn't all three of them was security.
Well, they all helped them steal the records.
Yeah, but all three of them, like, man, on B Street, everybody had a job.
I mean, I hear that. I just think Q had a less productive crew.
That's what I'm saying. We talking about metrics of there's some stuff that's just loose hood. Like, it's hood. That was a hood move. Yeah, it had hip-hop in it. He was DJing, but DJing, hip-hop ain't like, DJing is black culture, mm-hmm. not hip-hop culture. DJing okay. would exist whether hip hop exists or not, because it existed before hip hop.
Agreed. I would say this.
So that doesn't.
Wait, hold on. I would say this about Juice, where it's like as a coming of age tragedy. It's like, yo, it was kind of like almost like a warning, where it's like, you know, this kid was going to, you know, he probably would have potentially won the battle, but the street shit got in the way. Cause he, you know, and that's like the moral of the story and all that stuff. And this shit went way left. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But you know, but the point was that okay, he's like pursuing as a DJ, because the stuff is all in his crib. It's all like he's turntables everywhere. So
yeah, but that being a DJ don't make you hip hop. That's the whole point. Like, you don't have to be hip-hop to be a DJ.
No.
You don't have to be hip-hop to be a turntable.
Right.
Like, so we kind of sometimes get caught up in...
So let me ask you this, Harley. If there are films that are kind of on the fence, like you said, like maybe Juice is on the fence, maybe like House Party could... be on the fence.
That movie with Usher then, like, you know what I'm saying? Well, he
didn't right. Think right. So like those type of films that are on the fence, do you still maybe say, okay, I'll possibly put them on the list, or do you just say absolutely not?
Man, if they're on the list, they're at the bottom of the list. But we got people making lists where these movies are at the top of the list or some of the only movies being listed, and they're bad examples.
Okay.
Right. Okay.
Because they're on the fence. We need definitive hip-hop movies, not on the fence hip-hop movies.
So Harley, again, repeat your metric for what qualifies something as a hip hop movie. Let's go around. Let's everybody qualify what their metric is for a hip hop movie.
I don't have a metric. I have movies. The movies that pre-existed every other movie is Beat Street, Crush Groove, and Breaking. We can even throw that raggedy ass rapping movie in there.
Okay. Right. What about you, Tree? What do you define as a hip hop movie?
You know what? I never really even looked at movies as being hip hop until we started discussing it. So I'm still trying to develop something, but I will probably base a lot of, if I had to base a movie off of another movie to be hip hop, I would probably start with Who's the Man.
Okay.
And I will probably throw Straight Outta Compton in there just because it's their story. And if they're not hip hop, I don't know what to tell you.
No, right. Straight Outta Compton, definitely.
Yeah. Right. So between those two movies, that's probably where I would start. And then I work my way from there.
All right. I go, like I said before, I go with like purpose and sensibilities. Like what is the intention, purpose, and sensibilities? You know, so I would like, it would, if it wasn't for the sensibilities, it would be hard to put Who's the Man as a hip hop movie, but it's branded as the first hip hop whodunit and is done by all of the Yo MTV rap motherfuckers. So then I'm like, and like they used to say in the commercial, there's more rappers in here than the Candy Factory. So then I'm like, all right, cool. You know, Boys in the Hood, not so much. You know what I'm saying? But that's my metric. What about you, Kelvin?
Oh, man. Like, every time I've had, like, me and you didn't have these discussions, or me and Tree had these discussions, and, like, I think I know, but then it's like, and then, you know, talking to Harley, I'm just like, God damn, maybe I don't really know. But also, like, that's why I always go back to the whole, like, because it's like, yeah, you're absolutely right. You gotta think about Breaking and Breaking 2 and Beat Street and Crush Groove. But I also look at how cinema plays with different genres. Like, it was something that me and you talked about, D-Nick, when we were talking, had that conversation, and we were both like, is Captain America Winter Soldier a comic book movie, or is it just
an espionage?
Or is it just completely an espionage movie?
Right.
And I think, like, you can look at it either way. I don't think there's a right and wrong answer. I think you can look at it as it is an espionage movie, or some people think not. It's a comic book movie, or you just see it as both. What is Ant-Man? Is Ant-Man a comic book movie, or is it a heist film? It's both. Right. And so I look at those things and I'm saying, okay, well, yes, House Party and Who's the Man, a lot of hip hop influences and stuff, but again, you know, you have Who's the Man, it's also a comedy, it's also a procedural. It has the elements of like Abbott and Costello. So it's like, I have to look at that as a whole as well. Like with House Party, it is, you know, a coming of age teen comedy. There's a little bit of drama in it. You know, you do have the dance scene, and you do have kid and play battling each other on the mic. So I have to look at that and be like, okay, it's just two, it's a lot of genres playing together in one thing. I don't know if I can completely say that those aren't hip-hop films. Like I said before, I think like with A Boys in the Hood or Do the Right Thing, I'm like, nah, hip-hop sensibilities, but no. Those are just, that's completely something different. And so I think I count I think I count something like Brown Sugar as a hip hop movie.
But it's really also, okay. What's your metric? What's the metric for it though?
Because Brown Sugar is based on two songs. It's based on I Used to Love About Common, and then Act Two, The Love of My Life with By the Roots featuring Common. So it's based on those two songs. You're using the love story as an allegory for when did you fall in love with hip hop, but you're actually talking about this friendship slash like I've always been in love with this person type of thing. So I'm looking at it as it is hip hop, but it's also a love story and very comedic. So it also plays with different genres.
Okay. Here's my problem with all of this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Man, when people tell you an action movie, you know what the fuck an action movie is. Mm-hmm. All this extra shit, motherfuckers trying to add to what a hip-hop movie is, we still ain't, like, we can't skip over the foundation of hip-hop movies and say these are hip-hop movies because we like them.
Okay.
You kind of get what I mean? Like, yeah. It's like, because of the different generations experience things differently,
mm-hmm.
sometimes you don't take into account, okay, you didn't experience Crush Groove as Crush Groove, but do you understand the metric that it set as being a hip-hop movie without being anything else? Being purely a hip-hop movie.
Yeah.
So, wouldn't the pure hip-hop movies count more than the movies you got to explain that they're hip-hop?
They should.
That's what I'm trying to get across. Like, we talking about movies, we got to explain that they're hip-hop. Like, but there are movies that we don't have to explain that they're hip-hop. Who's the Man? We got to explain that. Boys in the Hood, we got to explain that. Straight Out of Compton, we don't have to explain that.
Wait, does anybody believe Boys in the Hood is a hip-hop movie?
Yeah, people actually believe that's a hip-hop movie.
Okay.
Yeah, I particularly don't, but I do see
it. Yeah, I don't either. I don't see that's. To me, that's definitely a gangster movie.
But it's
a coming of age movie too.
I won't even say it's fully a gangster movie. We have a lot of black cultural movies that are from a different standpoint of growing up in the hood.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we have all these different, like, okay, how many of us relate to Moonlight?
Relate to it?
I don't.
Yeah,
right.
You understand what I'm saying? But mm-hmm. it's a coming of age African American male story.
Yeah.
And if we don't understand the through lines, then we miss how our own cinema connects.
Yeah, because I don't consider Friday a hip hop movie neither.
Right. Even though it has a lot of hip hop people in it, but then you have a lot of people that do consider Friday a hip hop.
Man, them people weird, man.
But see, this is kind of what I'm saying. By not drawing the line in the sand and saying,
okay, so let me ask you this. And on the because I'm because the way things are produced and made now. Should there be a line drawn in the sand? At once where there was.
Man, there's still hip-hop movies being made now. I would consider Patty Cake more of a hip-hop movie than a lot of other hip-hop movies that people say are hip-hop movies. Because she had a goal. She was rapping and she was trying to get where she was trying to go. She found a producer. Like, that's hip-hop shit. But it also could be trying to come up on some music shit. Mm-hmm. But that's hip-hop shit. See, that's the thing about hip-hop. It always has to have a musical backdrop. And not just the soundtrack. The soundtrack has to be actually part of the movie.
Right.
The people making the movie. Who are in the movie art. Like, that's kind of why, like, okay. Is Empire a hip-hop TV show?
Yes.
I would say more soap opera. Man,
it's one of the first hip-hop soap operas, but it's hip-hop. We might not like it being hip-hop, but yes, you're right, it is a soap opera, but it's a hip-hop soap opera.
Okay, that differentiation, I'm not gonna argue that. I'm not arguing.
You hear how fast I said that?
Yeah, it's like
that whole foundation is built on hip hop.
Yeah, it's like hip hop dynasty. Like how they was into oil, they was into rap and drugs from the beginning, and built the empire.
Right.
I mean, yeah, ain't no more hip hop than that. we might want
you definitely don't have to explain.
No,
you don't have to explain Empire to nobody when it comes to that.
No. Do we have to explain who's the man?
Hold on. If it's not hip hop, at the bare minimum, it's rap industry.
Okay. Yeah, you probably would have to explain who's the man.
Yeah.
In terms because of his hip-hopness, you would have to explain it.
Hip-hop, because you have to explain who's the man, because it's hip-hop in theory. It's hip-hop in spirit. But it's not really, like, it's this nigga shit. Excuse the way I put like that.
That movie's hip-hop essence, it does not jump out at you. Like, say, Straight Outta Compton or Crush Groove. Or break
right.
You can see what it is.
Right. And even then, some people would argue that it's not hip hop pure because it's you see the elements, but it's the elements from the rap angle. That's one of the reasons why I have to always mention Beat Street and Breaking also. Mm-hmm. Because that kind of helps even the metric.
Right.
Which is kind of, man, which is okay. If while we're talking about who's the man, let's talk about Zebrahead.
Jeez.
Would you consider that a hip hop movie?
Nah.
Yeah, I'm gonna be honest, I've never watched Zebrahead.
I haven't seen it either.
Now in other circles, I've seen that pop up as a hip-hop movie. But never in our circles. And I think everybody understands what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
What about Hammer's first movie?
Man, I'd have to see that. I haven't seen that in so long. I would have to watch that again.
Okay.
I don't remember it.
Now I'll tell you one that's not a hip hop movie, even though some people might confuse it as one. I Got the Hookup.
Oh, I never looked at that.
That's on Complex's list. I'm glad you said that. I did see that on their list.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't consider that.
I looked at that as a hood comic.
But that was Master P and them trying to like, oh snap, you see what Cube did with Friday? Let's do that.
Yeah, right. but it was they did a whole soundtrack and everything. Like, so I mean, he used comedians that was down south, like, yeah, and Midwest comedians. Yeah. Like, but
if you think about it, it's beat for beat, Friday.
Yeah,
it's really a compliment to Friday. When you think about movies like I Got the Hookup, it's certain people that kind of got up off of that too. But it's the scene now where, when we were talking about the hood classic movies, because, you know, most of this conversation, we should also be dealing with not just hip-hop, but hood cult classics, because a lot of the movies that are confused as hip-hop movies are actually hood cult classic movies.
Absolutely.
And right. Because hip-hop is hood cult shit.
Let me ask you this.
What is the dominant pop culture thing of the day? Yeah.
No, but
let me ask you this. You mentioned I Got the Hook Up. I know a lot of people in not big circles but small circles talk about the other Master P movie.
About it?
Yeah. Would you consider that a hip hop movie? I particularly don't. I think it's just a hood story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but what do y'all think?
I think it's more of just a hood story. What?
Yeah, I always saw it as a hood. Like just a urban hood story. I never thought of it as a hip hop movie.
But a lot of movies. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Trey.
So look, I think my black card is safe on this one, but I had never seen that movie.
You ain't missing much. But
see, right. Black card is safe. That's what I'm talking about.
Okay, so Trey sent this link to this list. And so I'm looking at it, and I'm just like, well, some of these movies might not count because some people believe that, like, documentaries shouldn't count as and be in the same, you know, category as fictional or not, I guess, like something like Straight Outta Compton. It's still a movie.
Yeah, that's a movie. That's not a documentary.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's considered a biopic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm one of those. I don't consider documentaries like cinema, like that, not like in the artistic sense.
And hip hop, though, because all our shit sell about the same. I kind of like if it's released in the cinema. If it's not released in the cinema, then we have to look at it different. If it's straight to DVD or straight to streaming or straight to VHS, then, you know, we have to kind of count it from a different metric. But if it actually came out in the cinema...
Why? We still doing VHS now? We still doing that now?
I mean, you still got countries just still releasing VHS.
Yeah. But why do we have to count it different? Why we can't, like... weigh it as like normal, like movies.
Yeah, that part because I don't understand. It sounded like you said just because it didn't go to that place that want to charge you, you know, $20 for a tub of popcorn, then you want to judge it differently. Help me out here.
I mean, judge it differently as in it's an independent film. So,
well, there's a difference between indie docs and indie fiction,
right?
They're not weighed the same at all either. Like they're not in the same consideration,
even if we wanted them to be,
right? So I'm a purist in that where I'm just like nah, like. Documentaries are documentaries and films is films. Like there's actors, there's, you know, there's scripts, even if they're improvised, there's character development, there's arcs, there's all of that stuff where documentary is just
now, telling the story. Now recreations, that's another thing.
Yeah.
Wait, what's another thing?
Recreations.
Okay.
Because sometimes you'll end up with a blend, like what we were talking about earlier, where you end up with blended genres. But we really weren't establishing what the hardcore hip-hop genre really, you know what I'm saying? Like, what is hip-hop? And we all have a metric. But then there should be a metric that we should be able to tell the average layperson, this is what a hip-hop movie is. Because if we say House Party is a hip-hop movie, mm-hmm. and we stand on that, then that makes You Got Served the hip-hop movie.
I ain't mad at that.
Okay, I can see that.
But see, then that takes away the through line to our community. And then we got them other people talking the saucy stuff they talk now. Because they think they own it, because a lot of the stuff that's actually African-American stuff has been labeled as hip-hop.
Right.
That's really just African-American stuff. Being a DJ is an African-American thing.
I don't disagree with you.
That was the whole point of the, because, you know, y'all told me to eventually, you know, tell them the point of why I sacrificed House Party.
Right.
That was the whole point of sacrificing House Party, was because then it opens it up to all of these other people and organizations and types taking credit for things that were nurtured in our community without hip hop. Mm-hmm. DJing would happen without hip hop.
Right.
We were DJing without hip hop. That's not, hip hop didn't make us DJ.
Right.
We were breakdancing without hip hop. We evolved dancing, and we keep dancing to beats that DJs, the two music that DJs play now to this day.
We were rapping without hip hop.
Without hip hop. Like, so this is the thing that kind of makes it weird sometimes, where it's like, yeah, okay, I understand why you might think it's hip hop, but it's like, nah, that was just the music that was popular at that time, and they just put it in the movie. And it just so happened to be, and these people are popular, and these are black movies, and it's only so many popular black people, so the popular black people on the East Coast ended up in everything.
I've always wondered, like, what was, like, where did House Party 1, like, partake at, like, y'all ever, this is a side note, but y'all ever wonder how, like, different House Party, like the location was weird. Like, I'm like, okay, maybe that's Long Island. But then when he drove him to school in House Party 2, it's like, okay, like what colleges like that look like that are in New York State, you know? And then when you look at House Party 3, like that's the only place where they fully say, we in L.A., man, this is Hollywood, and da-da-da-da. I'm like, okay, so House Party was always in L.A.? Like,
right.
You know what? I kind of always had the feeling that House Party was in L.A. with maybe the first movie.
With the first
Couldn't
movie?
Really get a hold of it on the second movie.
Yeah. Or you feel like it might be in L.A.
Because I hate to say it to you, but the sun was bright as hell in most of the movies. It's like, yo, when the sun ever been this damn bright?
Man, you know.
I did it because of the palm trees, but there was no palm trees in the first House Party. Right.
But the one thing you did not see, do you remember seeing a subway? I mean, do you remember seeing any kind of L scenario?
No.
No.
And there's not too many places you can go in New York where you don't see the subway something.
Right.
That's why I thought Long Island. Is Long Island, do they have, they got trains on Long Island.
Yeah. But I think, yeah.
But in House Party, it was never seen, like, other than, like, them, like, other than, like, plays card. Like, it wasn't like we saw a kid going to school, like somebody picking him up going to school, and he took the bus. I think the only time I saw a bus is when the two criminals got on the bus because they're getting chased by the dog.
Yeah.
Right.
What the fuck?
All right, so.
So Long Island. It was in Long Island.
Since your boy Kelvin gave me the nickname of the fastest keys in the West, I just did my thing. And yeah, the first house party is definitely L.A.
Okay.
So we got an L.A. movie giving a, like, yeah, bro. We might want to hold that one. I mean, yeah, it's an on the fence one. I'll give it that. because here's y'all gotta understand, I respect y'all's age group because my younger siblings are in y'all's age group, so I get how y'all, you know what I'm saying, how they presented it to y'all.
Wait, should I be nervous about hearing that? Because I'm like, what age group is this?
I mean, age group of 40 to 30.
Well, thank you, sir. I really appreciate that. Because as Kelvin was joking for the last, year? Was it a year?
Yeah.
Yeah. That hip hop and I are the same age, so.
That's probably why you quicker on the uptake on some of the stuff I'm saying. So, because we grew up with hip hop. We didn't grow up on hip hop.
Right.
So a lot of those movies and things when they came out, that's why Last Dragon to a lot of people was a hip hop movie.
You know what?
I never saw it as a hip hop movie.
But to a lot of the early people, it comes across as a hip hop movie because that's the crowd it was marketed to.
I met Timac, and Timac don't really like none of that hip hop shit. So I just was like, okay, I always laugh when people would say that, I didn't know a lot of people that would say that. I'm like, have y'all ever had a conversation with Tom Mac or seen Tom Mac? He don't like none of that shit. Like,
man, but you know that whole Kung Fu Son. This is why we get a Last Dragon movie.
Yeah,
because we grew up the beginning part of hip hop. The second generation of hip hop grew up on all of the Kung Fu Sunday, Super Transfer Sunday. Downtown messed up New York and downtown messed up Chicago Chinese theaters.
Mm-hmm. Or on what was it?
Channel 66. Yep.
66 and shit like
that. Yeah, Samurai
Sunday. Samurai Sunday was the only time I could possibly maybe skip church was because of Samurai Sunday.
Mm-hmm. I had that line on the bootleg, man.
But also with that, damn. I think that's when we started seeing, and I think you probably get where I'm coming from with this, Harley, too. Like, that's also when we started to see a lot of the blending of the different genres.
Yep.
Because it was, because back in the day, if it was a sci-fi movie, it was just fucking sci-fi. If it's a Western, it is a Western. If it's an action movie, it's an action movie. Nowadays, it's like when we was coming up, like watching shit like Beverly Hills Cop, Big Trouble in Little China, there was so much blending.
Yeah, but so, Big Trouble in Little China, movies like that, it's like, okay, you basically take a, you could say it was a blend, but it was what Hong Kong cinema was already doing.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, their movies were already hyper-realistic.
Wasn't like, Big Trouble in Little China a spoof?
Nah. People take it as a spoof, but they, right. That movie was played straight.
Okay.
Yeah, because if you think about it, like you said, like Big Trouble in Little China is nothing but like encounters of the spooky kind, all of those kind of weird, like Sammo Hung, like horror.
Man, like, you remember what, the girl? The girl with the white hair or whatever, the white blade? Or, that one, you know, man, that movie was cold. Like it's.
Zoo Warriors from Magic. In fairness,
because I've my point. In fairness, like with the air quotes, and I'm air quoting it, hip hop movies, like it's like things are a slave to the branding and the marketing, because there's been, depending on who you talking to and where you talking to, like they always say, oh, House Party was the black Breakfast Club, because they didn't have representation of hip hop of black kids coming of age and like Breakfast Club and da 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 with our music and da da. That's how they kind of sell it. You know what I'm saying? And then when you fast forward, when people are like, you know, are calling shit like Belly a hip hop movie, which I'm like, what? Like, because it was directed by Hype Williams. What is hip hop about this? Like, you know,
right.
And you know, but it's, I guess it's brand. Is it just the branding of the sensibilities of the day? Would y'all say, or
yeah? And then, like I say, there's no through lines. See, hip hop has actually been the bang, because every time they slap that label on it, they disconnected from the African American community. So you won't see the through line that connects whatever was happening that's an African American thing to African American shit.
Right. And because you label it hip hop, of course, you know, even in the start of hip hop, like, or it being labeled hip hop, there's some people who look like us that don't like hip hop. Mm-hmm. So if it's labeled that, then it's going to draw them away. Oh, hip hop, it's gonna be about drugs and pimps and fucking hoes and everybody gonna be shooting. It's like, nah, I ain't fucking with that.
And not understanding that part of hip hop was raised on blaxploitation.
Right.
So if hip hop is raised on blaxploitation, Samurai Sunday,
right?
Like, mm-hmm. That's where you would get a Who's the Man, and then that makes sense.
Right.
But
like you said, like with Who's the Man, yeah, you got all you. It's basically the team who created
Young TV
Raps. But it's like, and it's got all these movies, like you said, it's so many rappers you think is in the Candy Factory or something like that.
Yeah, that was in the commercial, yeah.
Right, but yet you also had to say, like, okay, it's not only these rappers, right? It's not only just these rappers, but it's a procedural, because we're going to make them cops. We gotta make it a comedy too, because Ed, Lover, and Dr. Dre are hilarious together. And so that kind of disarms a lot of people and be like, okay, I'll check this out then.
And Dennis Leary had a show on MTV at the time.
Mm-hmm.
As well was Colin Quinn.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And you know, Karen Duffy used to do those vignettes and stuff for MTV. She was in it too. So
this was an MTV movie, though, correct?
Yeah, correct. Absolutely.
So, you know, that kind of takes away. Because, see, I have an issue with Yo MTV Raps. Because Yo MTV Raps presented hip hop a certain way. That's why Who's the Man was presented a certain way, because it's basically Yo MTV Raps, a movie.
Yeah, definitely. I totally agree with that.
It's like, write a script for all these people to come to your TV rep.
And I don't know if you guys will agree with me on this one. And I don't know if this is the point you're trying to make, Harley, when it comes to your TV raps. Like, it seemed like everybody had this idea of what hip-hop was. And that's why a lot of people didn't like it. Me and D-Nick, we've had this conversation too. Like, black people, there was a lot of black people who didn't fuck with hip-hop. Radio stations wasn't playing hip-hop.
Correct.
But it seemed like when Yo MTV Raps came out, it seemed like they made it more, you know, palatable to everybody to be like, okay, I want to check this out. It wasn't like, you know, oh, all these booty shakers and all. It was just like, you just had all these kind of different artists, a blend of different artists, blend of different videos. It made it accessible.
A blend of, what blend of different artists? Because it was mostly all East Coast artists on Yo MTV Rap.
The difference of the, I think you mean the difference of the East Coast artists? Like,
right, and it wasn't that much of a difference in their styles. Because of everybody talking Afrocentric at the same time.
Right.
That's why Wu-Tang blew up. Because everybody figured out that Afrocentric shit was fake. Like, it was a gimmick.
Right.
All the African medallions.
I thought Yo MTV Raps played West Coast artists too. Like, probably not as much as the East Coast.
Eventually.
Of course, the end of the run. From the then look, even think about the people who were on the end of.
Yeah, you're right. Definitely.
That lets you know most.
I'll say like I didn't watch the raps when Fab Five Freddy was the host. My true introduction to Yo MTV Raps and me watching it all the time was Dr. Dre and Ed Lover.
Fab Five Freddy was on the weekends.
Right.
Like the Daily Show was Dre and Ed Lover and T Money.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I thought in the beginning it was just like certain rappers they would host the show. Like, I know, like, Run DMC did it. I want to say DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince did it. And then
that was in the pilot. That was in the pilot because I think they filmed it at the Fresh Fest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
And that was the American pilot.
Right.
So I thought maybe after that, that's when Fab Five Freddy came on. And then after Fab, then Ed Love and Dr. Dre started doing the weekly stuff.
Fab was part of the production from the beginning, even in the European show.
Yeah, he opted to not do the weekly because he was like, that's too much exposure. You know what I'm saying? So then they got Ed and Dre.
Okay.
And when you know where they come from, like, Ed comes out of Tyler's Crew, and like Dr. Dre comes out of Spectrum City with the Beastie Boys and Public Enemy and them.
Right.
Yeah, and then you know he also was with, you know, the Original Concept stuff too. Yeah,
right. That's right.
Okay. Yeah. So basically, Yo MTV Raps was like the first. If you don't like this, you should listen to this. That's a conversation that me and you didn't have before, especially about like rockets and stuff. If it was like you didn't like this kind of hip hop, or you'll like this coming out of rockets, so Yo MTV Raps was like the first of it, basically.
But not really though, because y'all might look at it that way, but all that shit was mainstreaming, man. Like, they try to present that shit like that shit was underground or something. That shit mainstream as fuck.
Well, that's what he. That, I think that's what you're saying, right, Kel? Like,
yeah,
yeah. Like, I don't disagree that that was totally mainstream.
Like, but even Rockets was like mainstream.
Oh, hey, right. Shit. You're,
yeah,
you're,
yeah. Rockets was mainstream.
Totally mainstream.
That they were underground.
Right.
And because they had enough power to make people believe that, it became that whole, like, man, because people, man, I don't like all that, like, whatever was out at the time that people didn't fuck with, and then people like, oh, you don't like this, check this shit.
Rockets was Subway to everybody else's McDonald's, to Death Row and Bad Boys, McDonald's and Burger King.
Right.
Yeah.
I think Master P was on his White Castle kick.
Right. Because I was about to say, I'm like, wouldn't McDonald's and Burger King be mainstream as well?
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. But like, so, and if you're, when you look at them, like, yeah, McDonald's and Burger King and White Castle, they're mainstream. And then, well, wait, but Subway fronts and pontificates like it's Subway Eat Fresh. So it's positioned and marketed as the healthier option, even though it's not
going
really.
Out to eat all that fried food.
Right, but it's a little, I guess it's a little bit better than McDonald's, but it ain't, you know.
Right.
But that's how they try to, that's how Rockets try to
front. Because they'll say, yeah, they'll definitely say, we make our bread fresh, and you can see it. You can see us make your sandwich.
Let me ask a question. Have you guys seen Wild Style or Style Wars?
Yeah.
Wild Style,
I
yes.
I have not.
Those, like, see, even though if we're talking hip-hop movies, like, where would we put them?
I used to think Wild Style was a documentary until I
saw it.
Until I learned that, like, oh no, half of that shit was staged. I was like, okay,
right.
and see that's why. See, D-Nick, that's why. Because going back to what I had asked about documentaries, I'm the one that says I think you should put documentaries in the same category.
It's not fair.
But Wild Style isn't a documentary, so it's no. Like,
right. That's why.
Well, just because it's a cheaper movie, movie doesn't mean.
So, Harley, this is why I was saying that with documentaries, because it was like, I know the documentaries that are just like information, all in your face, but it was just like, I thought Wild Style was a documentary,
but it's not.
I also looked at Hoop Dreams and I said, okay, with Hoop Dreams, yes, it's a documentary. But Hoop Dreams tells such a fucking incredible story, even though it's all real, you're still telling this
story from
beginning to end.
That just makes it dope though, Kelvin. That just makes it dope. But like, you're not gonna give the protagonist best actor. He's not an actor.
Right. Or I mean, Art of Rap doesn't. Who's the protagonist in Art of Rap?
There is no, right. Just, unless you count Ice-T.
I mean, you can't even count Ice-T. You see, Grandmaster
Taz
more than you see anybody.
Yeah.
So on the low, it's Grandmaster. You get what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
But they didn't go there. They could have made it a Grandmaster Taz, some kind of weirdo one, you know, movie. But
that's why I asked for hip hop. Like, if we're doing a hip hop like movie thing, like
that's what we're talking about.
Would you wouldn't count documentaries?
Hell no.
I wouldn't count them, but I would give them their own category,
which documentaries already have. So
yeah. Right, but hip hop documentaries in general.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, people don't know what hip hop documentaries are either.
Right.
That's why I said Art of Rap.
Yeah, Art of Rap is. That and Star Wars. Is,
Now, CB4 is probably a way better hip hop movie than people give it credit for.
Oh, I fucking love CB4, dude.
Tree, you've seen CB4, right?
Bits and pieces of it.
Gotcha. But I was telling D-Nick the other day, I was like, I said, you know, there's a lot of people that will fight to the teeth that they think that Fear of the Black Hat is way better than CB4.
It's good. I love Fear of the Black Hat. It's just not up there. Because it's in the shadow of CB4.
Right.
With a lack of a budget and CB4. Like, Chris Rock was just coming off of Saturday Night Live. And, you right. know.
But I
Because to me, I felt like with Fear of the Black Hat, like, don't get it twisted. I felt like CB4 was also kind of, they were making fun of shit. But I felt like even in the making fun, there was like, no, we want to put some kind of seriousness to it as well. But with Fear of a Black Hat, it just seemed more of just, I don't know if the correct word is spoof, but
yeah, it was more spoof, but it was New York. See, the difference was the type of spoofing it was. One was spoofing like the whole KRS-One X-Clan type scenario.
Right.
What you would consider, what would you consider spoofing them?
What, CB4?
Oh, I know. I was asking, is it CB4 or is it Fear of a Black Hat that was spoofing?
Oh, I felt Fear of a Black Hat was more spoof than CB4. I think CB4 made fun of stuff.
I think CB4 is more cutting.
You know how I think, like, okay, for a better, I would say CB4 is like Black Dynamite and Fear of a Black Hat is I'm Gonna Get You Something.
Okay. I can see that. I can sort of see that. But like I said, I just kind of mostly see him as one as a parody and one is a spoof. One is spoofing. Right. One is making a parody of, and one is spoofing.
Right. And then you did have, because correct me if I'm wrong, Dini, but I remember in our conversation you were saying like a lot of rappers was pissed off about CB4 because it was just like, yo, you telling a whole lot.
Yeah. He, you know, I wouldn't consider CB4 a parody. I consider it, I don't even consider it, I consider it a satire.
I think that's probably why I said I feel like CB4 is Black Dynamite.
And yeah.
Because it's like, it's a satire. But it's like also on some meta shit. And that's kind of what I felt with CB4. Fear of a Black Hat is basically I'm Gonna Get You Something. It's just a total spoof.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably why, like, I think that's probably why maybe we probably enjoy CB4 more than Fear of a Black Hat.
Because CB4 was really, it was really making fun of NWA, if we be honest. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And calling them jokes and all it, like, saying they not real. Because that shit was coming off at the same time as Tim Dog was. Like, NWA is breaking up, and Tim Dog was like, just dropped Fuck Compton and all of this type of stuff.
Because the only dope rapper you had was ICE. But you tried to play him like a sucker. That's why he longer than you, dumb motherfucker. Like,
yo, Tim Dog kind of snapped with that line. I ain't gonna say.
Yeah. He did. But I'll tell you what, $10.
I will say this real quick, Harlan, and you can continue. I feel like because Chris Rock wrote it, that makes it all more like, oh, this motherfucker is really trying to diss. This is because this is New York nigga.
Right.
This is New York nigga diss.
That's why I said Fear of a Black Hat might not have been viewed in the right way. Because it was really kind of calling them to tag.
Right.
So it wasn't as funny to most people. Because at that point, and still are, there's this weird reverence that a lot of people have for New York.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely.
To where that movie probably wouldn't even be like.
Because I felt like with Fear of a Black Hat, even though they was niggas with hats, it was like they dressed a lot like fucking like the fucking Native Tongue niggas would.
Right.
Was dressing.
Yeah. It was spoofing that whole, that's why I say it was a spoof. Cause it was spoofing that whole Native Tongues movie. And CB4 was a parody of N.W.A. Because it really wasn't what them niggas was really on.
Right.
It was the East Coast, how East Coast people saw West Coast people.
That's why I wouldn't consider it a parody. That's why I look at it as like a satire, you know.
But a satire usually has a point. That really didn't have no point.
Was CB4?
Yeah. Because if you making fun of a whole nother coast that you don't live on, shut the fuck up.
Damn, tell us how you really feel.
But that's that corny shit, bro. Like, we know that's what New York do.
Yeah.
And that's always been the beef between the East Coast and the West Coast is that the East Coast niggas look down on West Coast niggas.
I would only challenge that. It wasn't a beef between East and West. It was a beef between East versus everybody else.
But it wasn't a beef between East versus everybody else, because nobody else was able to fight.
That's true. I'll give you that.
Nobody else had Hollywood. Chicago didn't have we just now getting our Hollywood back.
Right.
Yeah, it took our Hollywood.
And the reason, like, I don't disagree with you. I would just add to this that the reason why it does have a point is because they were making fun of the fact that you need a motif, as they called it, a gimmick to sell. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, bro, but it's like you're still making fun of a coast without making fun of your coast, because y'all was the king of the gimmick niggas.
Agreed.
You get what I'm saying? You gonna go make fun of a whole nother coast when you can make fun of your own coast?
Yeah, that's why I said what I said on that, because it was like you got an East Coast nigga who basically wrote a movie about West Coast shit.
So it gotta be a parody, because you can't write it from a standpoint that it's gonna be the satire.
I don't know, man. That baghead shit was real East Coast as fuck. The bagheads.
Ice Cube told you. That's what West Coast dudes was trying to do. I mean, Ice-T told you that some of the West Coast dudes was trying to do the New York thing at one point, until they understood that they needed to do them.
And that could have been them. That could have been them, and also them kind of slightly, and I ain't saying it is, I'm just saying slightly making fun of shit like the motherfuckers that was coming out of like the fucking Good Life Cafe.
Mm-hmm.
No, they were mad about the gangster stuff.
Yeah, that was super mad. Like, that was really kind of giving the special ed thing credence. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the weird thing, that there's this view that New York cats wasn't doing dirt. But
when the West Coast come along, they talking about gangster shit, they doing this, and exactly. That's why, like you said, special ed coming out talking about that NWA ruined hip hop.
No, Jay Master Jay ruined hip hop.
Ooh.
Now chew on that shit. If Jam Master Jay was running drugs across the country,
but we didn't know that at the time.
Man, we didn't know that. What are you talking about?
I said I didn't know that shit at the time. And maybe I'm only speaking for myself.
They wasn't okay. They wasn't part of the. Jam Master Jay was not part of the positive rappers, right? They just sort of positive.
Run DMC and Jam Master Jay, right.
Yeah, sort of positive.
Right.
They just more like just tell their real life, because most of their raps is real life.
They just kind of rapped about rap.
Yeah, they rapped about rap, but they rapped about rap that was about them most of the time and what they did.
Well, DMC, I don't know about Run, because Run just rapped about being the best.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm all time great.
DMC, I jacked that. DMC definitely was whatever he was going through is what he rapped about.
Right.
But Run, no, they, you know, and then.
But all I'm saying is, with that, it's like you said, a lot of those New York motherfuckers are doing wild gangster shit. They just hit it a little bit better. And when they were doing music, they didn't really talk about it like that.
They did, but they talked about it in code. And if you was a square, you didn't get the code.
Well, yeah, that's true. And I am a square, so I didn't know all this shit. And so,
like when we talk about all the ski dudes.
Right. Yeah, that is all cocaine.
And the blow dudes. And the son of blow dudes.
Right. And so then out of that, you also get, like you said, the native tongues and all them motherfuckers coming through. And then it's like, then you got the West Coast doing their shit. And it's like, hold on, like, we ain't about that shit. Like,
the
fuck is this shit? And so...
Hold fast 1 second. Rest in peace, Jam Master Jay. And no, Jam Master Jay did not ruin hip-hop, you know, because you know how motherfuckers be now. They'll actually take me serious and shit. Man, I was just surviving in the hood.
Right.
For those that don't understand.
And I don't know why it took me... I know why it took me that long not to even connect the dots with the whole Chris Rock thing. Probably because I didn't, like, you know, I didn't get the good sense of it. Like, oh, this nigga really, like, making fun of motherfuckers like NWA and West Coast hip hop. And this is a New York nigga. Like,
right.
You just, like, the older you get, stuff, like, some people can catch things off quickly. It's just like, you know, the older you get, you start looking at stuff, you're like, oh, shit. You know, it's like Spike Lee doing Chirac. It's like, what the fuck?
Right, like, what is you doing, bro?
Right. a Brooklyn nigga doing a movie about Chicago shit. It's like, what?
Like, nah, then, bro. Then
you watch it, you like, bro.
At a really, like, bad time. Because at the time, that was when they were talking about bringing the National Guard in here, and it was like, you know, yeah, Chirac, but you can't really, we weren't really like Jack and saying that like publicly. So then, you know, what are you trying to do? So it's, you know,
right.
You know, it's like, I was saying that's why D-Lo was all anti-Chirac. Was like anti-Chirac. Like, yeah. You know, at the time, and it was a bigger play going on, like with that whole stuff.
Right. And plus you had a lot of people to everybody's like visual. Somebody like a Spike Lee or DJ Academics, like,
yeah,
getting money off of Chirac, this Chirac and all this other
stuff. Man, bro, right. But what's so crazy is that Chirac, the movie, could have been a Chicago hip-hop movie.
Yeah, definitely.
It could have been that. They could have easily came in and made it a hip-hop movie.
Tree, did you see it? Did you see that? Did you see Chirac, or you were like, nah, I'm cool?
You know what, Chirac, I believe I saw it, but it's been so long since I've seen it.
But
I liked it.
As a movie... Yeah,
yeah,
it's a cool movie, but as a representation of our hood, of our city,
no, definitely not.
Right, and watching it, I was like, I agree with you, Harlan. Watching when I first saw it, I said, yo, if this was a movie about drill music, a Chicago drill shit, I would have liked this movie a lot more.
Man, even that TV show that we got, The Shot, don't even fully, yeah. Like, there's a thing, there's, if you ever really take the bus in the city, and I tell people this, the only way you really, this is something me and Nick talk about a lot. Unless you take the bus in the city of Chicago, in the train, you really don't know how this city moves.
Right.
Yeah.
And you just kind of riding through the city, but you're not experiencing the city.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So you got a lot of people in Chicago who don't experience the city for real and think they understand the city.
And most of them live on the north side.
Yep. A lot of them live on
the north side. They're real.
And some of them stay on the south side and the west side too.
And yeah.
And definitely a lot of them stay in the ill sub. That's why they could say they're from Chicago to a Chicago person and think they won't get caught up.
Right. I was telling somebody that the other day because I came with a bunch of guys from all over the place. And I was like, that's one thing you don't do. I mean, yeah, you can get away with it. They can get away with it talking to you all, but run up on me and say that? No. Talking about you live in Naperville, bruh. That is not Chicago.
Right. They ain't gonna get away without me. It's like, bro.
Right. Dude, it's so many people I ran into. Even when I was living in Paducah, it was so many people that were like, oh man, like you from Chicago? Yeah, I am too. I stay up in Aurora. Nigga, that is not Chicago.
That's not even Chicago land.
Wait, right. Or then if you tell them, if you ask them, you say, yeah, what part? And then they start dropping the suburbs. It's like, nope.
Man, the first thing that you look
like, barely give you a pass saying Evergreen.
Man.
Barely.
You ain't going to get no pass then. If you don't say, if the first thing that don't jump out of your mouth is north side, east side, south side, or Hunnis, or west side.
Okay.
Then I'm not.
Then we know you ain't from Chicago.
Right.
Because that's immediately going to jump out first. Then you get into what streets you buy. Because you still don't trust a motherfucker right away to tell their ass where exactly you stay at. So first you tell them what side of town. And then you start saying vicinity streets.
Do you know how I used to have to tell? Because people back in the day would ask you like, hey, what church you go to? And I'd be like, Memorial Missionary Baptist Church. Where is that at? 87th and Ashland. 87th. right across the street from Mr. G's. Oh, mm-hmm. Okay.
You mean across the street? You remember right. Pastor used to say, they across the street from us, and we not across the street from them?
I've heard that before. That's funny.
Man, fellas, man, thank y'all, man, for jumping on this late session, man. I really appreciate y'all, man.
Man, hold up. First up, y'all actually got me on another one of these.
Yeah.
Look, yeah.
How y'all mess around and roll up? First, let me explain to the audience. They came up on me in a van, and they had like bags, and they threw the bag on my head, threw me in the van.
Man, you know how it's going down, Spike Lee style.
Right.
We went down Spike Lee style.
Tell us, how dare you denounce deep dish pizza?
Right. No, but shout out, man! Shout out to Tree Man. I told Tree Man, I was like, you know, people been asking, like, hey man, how come Tree ain't been popping up on late sessions? And I was just like, it just depends on when, you know, when we do them. Because usually at the time we would do them, he'd be at work.
Cause I got a job, nigga.
So I said, I'm gonna get him when he ain't working. So, but yeah, man, shout out to Tree. Shout out to D Nick.
Shout out to you guys too. Yeah.
Man.
Thank y'all for always rocking with the late sessions, man. I really do appreciate y'all.
Man, appreciate you too, bro.
So quick question. Am I like the straight man on this show?
I don't know, man. Like, I don't know. We all play straight every now and then we all play crazy. So I don't know.
Right.
I just say, man, it's whatever we need at that point.
Yeah.
It seemed like the chemistry is cool, and we all kind of starting to kind of understand where we're all at. Far as we don't disagree, we agree more than we disagree.
Yeah,
definitely.
So that's kind of cool. And
yeah, see, first up, my insurance don't cover disagreements much, so.
Right.
Have to look at a new PPO for that one. Be like, hey, look, disagreements. Can I get that? Yeah.
Is that
$20 a month? Never mind. The copay too high.
Yeah, you already know. You come up in there and be like, $25 copay. $50 right. Copay. Look,
that's kind of steep there.
Man, no, I think he feels the common girl hits well too. So I mean, however you want to run the tree,
right?
Yeah, man. Well, we out of here, y'all, man. Thank y'all again. Thank y'all for listening. We out. Peace.
Peace.